I'm your host. My name is Sharif Abdus-Salam, and I have another guest this evening who has some important information to share with you. It is an event taking place tomorrow night. This will be at Smalls. Drummer, composer, Vincent Vallega is in studio. We're going to hear some music and then begin our conversation. He has a new CD, and it'll be released tomorrow, and he wants everyone to come on down and celebrate this release of the new CD. And he's involved in Consilience Productions, which we're going to talk about in a little while. I think you'll enjoy the conversation. But let's begin with a track from the new CD called Biophilia. And we'll start with the first track. It's called I Knew You'd Say That, written by Matthew Fries. This is WKCR, FM, New York. We'll be right back. That's from a new recording called Biophilia, the Vincent Vallega Group. And the particular composition was entitled Knew You'd Say That. And I'd like to welcome to WKCR, Vincent Vallega. Welcome, Vincent.
Thanks for having me, Sharif.
Glad you could make it up this evening despite the weather.
Yeah.
New CD, Biophilia. Tell us about that title.
So Biophilia is a book written by a sociobiologist from Harvard, who's still with us, E.O. Wilson. I think he's in his early 80s now. He's written a whole slew of wonderful books about science, one of them being entitled Biophilia. I first came upon him with this book that he wrote called Consilience, The Unity of Knowledge, and he's a wonderful essayist, basically connecting the beauties and wonders of nature to humanity, and it's very inspiring to read, actually. I've always been interested in science, grew up in a science background, so I've always been attracted to science writers. And Biophilia, this particular book, is all about the environmental movement, essentially. It was written in 1984, and it's his call, I wouldn't say call to arms, but it's his wake-up call to us to, like, start paying attention to preserving the planet and what's going on. So just trying to get the word out about the planet.
So in essence, is that what you're trying to do with your music? To wake up the planet?
This particular release, all of my releases I try to put a theme to them. And this particular one, I talk about it in the liner notes, it focuses on the environmental movement and on what's going on with the planet. And so I love the title, and I thought it'd be, a cool title for the CD.
Biophilia. Where are you from originally, Vincent?
I grew up outside of Washington, D.C., in Maryland, and went to college in Philadelphia and came up here about 20 years ago.
Always a drummer, or are you a multi-instrumentalist?
Well, I started on piano. My parents always had us, the requirement was you have to play 1 year classical piano, and if you hate it, and, kicking and screaming, you can try another instrument, but you got to do a year of piano, which I did and subsequently enjoyed it a lot. And so I studied classical piano for about 6 years, although it never came naturally. So it was somewhat of a struggle for me. So when sixth grade came around, I had a chance to change instruments. I was like, what about the drums? And then, that's how it always goes. When something is fun, you're usually better at it. And so it was sort of a cascading event process where I just fell in love with the instrument, and because it came much more naturally, I was better at it, and things took off.
So drums was your first choice after 6 years of piano?
Yeah.
Kind of a difference there between piano and drums, but...
Yeah, I don't even know why, to tell you the truth. It was strange, actually, but I do remember the junior high school vice principal was a jazz head. Ah. And I remember hanging out and listening to jazz LPs with him, who would think it? But, and my drum teacher was a jazzer, so we only studied jazz primarily. So
okay,
yeah.
And at what point did you say, well, maybe I can do this for a living, or you wanted to do it for a living?
Well, no, I didn't want to do it for a living.
You didn't?
I always played through junior high school and high school and college. I was in the county jazz band. I was in my college's jazz band, but it was always sort of a hobby. I didn't really get serious about it till after my undergrad. I came to New York, and actually I went on this long road trip. I was out of the city for about a year, and visiting traveled South America. I traveled to Europe visiting friends, and so put my head together. I was like, music was always a large part of played a large role in my life. What would happen if I went back to it full time? So, but I knew I didn't have the music chops to be a professional musician. So I knew I had to go back to music school, which I subsequently did for 3 years at Manus, which subsequently mm-hmm. became part of the New School. But that's really where I got, composition, ear training, jazz theory. And that's, one of those things. It's funny because I always say this after that experience that we should all go to college later in life, because then I was a sponge at that time. I mean, 16-hour days, just pure music and studying. And, that was wonderful. So one door open led to another, and haven't looked back.
And that was what, 19, what?
91.
1991. Yep. The music scene was a lot different back then than it is today.
Yeah. Yeah.
New York scene.
It was, you know. There were a lot of the old guys that were still around, you know. So that apprenticeship model where, you know, you study hard, you get your music out in front of the right people, you hook up with an important gig, you know, it still exists today, but, you know, it's less frequent, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go down a litany of all the greats that have passed since then. It's just amazing. And then, of course, just living in New York, soaking it up, you know. I live two blocks from Bradley's.
Oh, okay.
For, you know, a good 8 years, I was going in there weekly, if not, you know, multiple times during the week, you know, sitting next to, you know, Billy Higgins. And
what an education that was, yeah.
God. Amazing. So
here you are, a drummer here in New York and composer. This particular product, or project, actually, Biophilia, what interested me, besides the great music on it, when I began to read a little bit about Consilience, which you said was also a title of a book of the same author?
Exactly, Consilience.
And you're involved in this collective known as Consilience Productions, or...
Well, how that started was, you know, I started to work on my own projects and to put them out. And so, you know, back in the early, mid-90s, you put together a website. And so I put together this project called Consilience Productions. This was after reading this book by E.O. Wilson. Because the idea was I wanted to combine my music with other interests. Like I said, one of them was science, for instance. I grew up in a science background. So I've always had other interests besides music. So I wanted to put together a website that put the music out, promoted the music, but also had these other sections to it that brought in different communities and different people from non-music backgrounds, non-music communities, progressive mm-hmm. communities. So I created the website, which was basically a way for me to promote the music and talk about the stuff I wanted to talk about. So there's a music section, and then there's an earth, democracy, and money section. And there's book picks up there and CD picks and links and essays. And each section has a blog. So I essentially blog up there about music, about politics, about social policy, about the environment, economics. You know, I was an economics major, so I'm fascinated by how that works. So I have all these other interests besides music that I didn't want to, you know, that I also wanted to develop and sort of bring along with the concept that by bringing jazz music to these other communities, these other organizations, people might learn about jazz, so sort of spreading the word of jazz, and vice versa, bringing jazz listeners to social change events out there and issues of the day. So I created a tagline called Dialogue Beyond Music.
Uh-huh.
And so that went on for a good 5 years, and then I wanted to take it to the next level. So about 2 years ago, started the process of turning it into a nonprofit. So now it's an official 501c3 nonprofit. We have a board of directors. I'm the, you know, executive director. And so we have sort of honed the mission statement to the very simple phrase of live jazz for social change.
Mm.
And the idea is to use live jazz music to put on these events that combine music and social change topics of the day. So we're in the process of building up. We've had 3 events now at this cafe out in Ditmas Park, Brooklyn, called Vox Pop Cafe. And it's this cafe that puts on book readings, music, has a lot of different things going on there. And so we have, at the third Sunday of every month, we put on these events that feature a set of my music with my band. And then we bring in some social change organization to give a presentation to talk about different things, panel discussion, that kind of stuff. So we're using music to bring in people, sort of the entertainment thing. People come and have fun. They might then learn about another topic. And if they become interested in another topic, then they'll become involved in that topic. So the whole idea is to increase civic engagement, get the people out, learn about the topics of the day, and hopefully get involved. Sign up with us, sign up with these different social change organizations that have come out and given presentations. And dovetailing, you know, there's a history of jazz involved with social change, in particular civil rights in the 60s. And there's a couple of us out here doing this. You know, it's not a lot of us, but, you know, we're trying to, you know, I was interviewed recently, and it came out that we're trying to do useful jazz.
Useful jazz,
which is funny. Like, you know, jazz is always useful, but we're trying to get people out and learn about topics of the day.
Well, what would you say, as you mentioned, has been used in the past involved with social movements? But why this music as opposed to rock or folk or something else?
That's a great question, and it's perfect. It's the perfect music, and this is why: because it's America's only art form. Really, it came from the American experience. So, just as you have the democracy within a jazz group, you know, you have a quartet, four voices all working for the greater good of the music. This is what America is about. America is all these different voices all working together, hopefully for the greater good. I mean, the diversity in this country trumps all the other countries, essentially, you know, in many, many countries. You know, you just compare them to European countries where the population is very much more homogenous than here. So anyway, the point is, in America, we have all these different voices working together. And so we love to use jazz as a model of unity and working together for the greater good, hopefully of society. And because it's an abstract music as well, at least in these events that we're doing, we're not featuring vocalists. The point is, it's an abstract music. So when people come to these events, they're exposed to this sound that maybe they're not used to, since jazz is no longer popular music, and they're like, wow, what's going on? So it automatically puts them in this space of thinking outside the box. So in a very subtle way, you know, and we don't spoon feed this to them. It's like you just come in. It's an experience. It's a different vibe. It's like when you go to an art museum, you come out of it changed, and you don't know why. But you know, just being exposed to imagery, and it just prods you to think a different way, and you know, get out of your usual behavior patterns and thought processes. And I think jazz really, really does that.
We're speaking this evening here with Vincent Villega. He has a new CD out called The Vincent Villega Group, Biophilia. We're going to hear another track and then get back to our conversation. We're going to hear one called, what did I choose this time around? Oh, it's your composition, A Moment of Silence.
Great, thanks.
Let's give a listen. This is WKCR-FM, New York. Thank you. moment of silence. That's a moment of silence, huh, Vincent?
That's right.
We're speaking with Vincent Villegas, drummer, composer, who will be performing tomorrow night, Friday, down at Smalls. Two sets, 7:30, and I think, what's the second set, 9:15?
Yep.
All right. And who are the musicians with you on this recording, Vincent?
So the musicians are on alto saxophone and flute, at Anton Denner. Tenor and soprano is Chris Backus. Trombone is Mark Miller. The pianist is Matthew Fries. And the bass player is Gary Wong.
Gary Wong. Excellent bass player.
Yeah. Gary's wonderful.
Let's go back to Consilience for a second, because there's so much to talk about Consilience. Because, okay. you deal with different elements. I mean, as it's laid out, it's about participation.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, life is about participation, basically.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully. And freedom is another concept involved in.
Absolutely. You know, I talk in all of my releases, I write liner notes that have to do with different topics in this vein. So like we talked about, biophilia is all about the environmental movement and the planet and climate change and all that stuff. My last CD called Awake, the essay was all about freedom, essentially. And the concept is, if you're not participating, how free are you, really?
Mm.
Because think about it. If you're not participating, then other people are making decisions for you. You know, those are general concepts, of course. But the point being that people think that they can't change anything. But they don't realize that things only got this way because of decisions that humans made. You know what I mean? So you can't lose track of that. I mean, it's hard. You know, trust me, it's hard, especially in this day and age and, you know, what's going down with Washington and you know, all the stuff that we just think is never going to get any better. You know, climate change seems like such a, you know, gargantuan project to undertake. But you can't lose sight of the fact that we only got to this point where we are based on previous decisions. And even if they're decisions we made yesterday or 10 years ago or even 100 years ago, you know, we're still benefiting and suffering from decisions from 100 years ago. So we got to sort of keep that in mind. And, you know, it's hard. Sometimes, you know, I got to give myself a pep talk to, you know, to be an optimist. But
sure.
You have two choices. I mean, you only really have one choice, because what are you going to do, give up? No.
No. And we're thankful that you've pulled this and involved in this project, because you do things like take music to schools.
That's right.
Tell us some of the things that you the group Consilience Projects actually is engaged in.
Well, so because we're a new 501c3, we're in the process of really building it up. You know, we have a few grants that we've won recently, and we're trying to raise money for a lot of these different projects. So I'll talk about the big goal, which eventually is to open up the Consilience Community Center in Queens, in Long Island City, Queens, would be essentially an education center where we're giving subsidized music lessons, rehearsal spaces. There's a cafe where a lot of students and parents and teachers can come and relax and, you know, have discussions and learn about issues of the day. And as a meeting place, would be a cafe. So that's the big goal. Now, you know, we're starting from scratch. So this is 3 to 5 years down the way. You know, you have to build. You got to crawl before you walk. So,
most definitely.
So that's one of the projects. Another project that we have grants out for is more about a strictly jazz music project, which we'll get the message out about Consilience. And that's it. That's this. Jazz musicians all across New York City and all across the states, really, get together on a daily basis to rehearse, either for projects, you know, like this gig tomorrow at Smalls, or just get together to jam, you know, jam sessions. Because we have to play with each other to make our art. And so we have to practice performing just like we practice, you know, on our instruments. So there's all this great music taking place underground that is here and gone. And that's just the essence of jazz music, right? It's in the moment, and you'll never hear that song again, you know, unless the tapes are rolling. So the point is, we're trying to raise money to have a videographer come in on a monthly basis or bi-monthly basis and basically record these rehearsals, these very relaxed, informal rehearsal jam sessions, and interview musicians, the jazz musicians, like, you know, basic questions. What'd you do today? Like, you know, day in the life of a New York City jazz musician. Mm. Get it out there in video podcasts, and just, you know, essentially bring the music from underground out into the world. And so the internet's great that way, because, you know, somebody, a jazz lover in Indonesia, can learn about what a jazz musician in New York City's doing on a regular Tuesday afternoon. So these are one of the basic ideas. And so as a 501c3, now we have access to foundation money. So my thinking is that, because jazz music is, you know, you talk about how the jazz scene in New York has changed substantially over the past 20 years, there's no doubt. And so there's less and less money in it. And so it's migrating more and more towards the classical music model, which is foundation supported, mm-hmm. and nonprofit supported. So we're trying to raise money from foundations, from donations, and to build up to get the money to, you know, to provide the money for these different projects. So those are two, a very small one and a very big one.
Those are essential, though.
Yeah.
They definitely are essential.